This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Inna alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Oman wala wa ba'd, my dear brothers and sisters, there is a famous teaching story in America called the Carpenter story. And the story goes that there was this contractor who used to build houses. And as you know, mostly in America, North America basically, America, Canada, houses are built of wood. Everything is wood. All the beams and this and that. So he had this master carpenter who used to build the houses for him. And he worked for him for 30, 35 years, close to 40 years, and did a good job, used to do his work. So one day he decided that he wanted to retire. So he went to the contractor and told him that, look, I have worked for you for all these years and I want to retire now, so give me whatever terminal benefits you have to give me and let me go. So his boss said to him that, I let you go, but I have one final house that I want you to construct. You build that one house and you can go. Now this man felt resentful. He said, what is this? I mean, I worked for him for so many years and all that. What is this one house? Why should I build one house? Let him build somebody. He's got people and all that. Why does he want me to build? So anyway, his boss said, no, this is one condition. You want to go, build one house. So anyhow, he had to listen to him. So he said, okay. So his boss showed him a nice big plot of land. So he said, the house has to be built here. And he said that normally I used to come and supervise, and once in a while I used to come and check and so on and so forth, but now I have no time. So I am going to leave this entirely to you. Do whatever you want, build it however you want. I know you will do a good job. I'll leave everything to you. Use whatever material you like. Design it whichever way you like. Go talk to the architect. Whatever you like. I mean, this is a house that I want you to build, and I'm not going to be coming to check what you are doing and not doing and so on. Just do whatever you like. Take the help of whoever in the organization that you need and build it. So this guy thought, the longer this thing takes, the longer I will have to be here. I want to retire and go. So he built the house, but he did it in the fastest way that he could do it, which means that, normally if he had a staircase, it would have these nice banisters and they would be carved. And forget all this. Everything takes time, right? He would have beautiful parquet flooring, beautifully joined, forget all that. Put some tiles, right? He would have the best kind of sanitary ware and all kinds of faucets and showers and say, yeah, forget all that. Put one tap on shower, khalas, right? So, this way, even material, I mean, sometimes, some kinds of wood are not easily available. There is a high quality wood. Lasts a long time, looks beautiful, but obviously it is not available easily, which means that there is a waiting period. He said, forget all that, get some plywood and do the job, right? So he did this whole thing. He finished his house in record time, fastest house that he ever built in his life. But it was slipshod, it was all kinds of shortcuts, this, that. And he came to his boss and he told him, you told me to build this final house. I've done it. The boss said, you built it faster than you ever built any house in your life. He said, yeah. So the boss said, no problem. Thank you very much. I appreciate the fact that you did this last job for me. Here are the keys to that house. That house is yours. He says, that is your terminal benefit. You wanted me to give you final benefits before you go. This is my gift to you, that house belongs to you. And that is the famous carpenter story. Why am I telling you this story? To remind myself and you that we are those carpenters in this world. We are the carpenters in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this time, this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that do whatever you like. Do whatever you like. Jannah is a flat piece of ground. Right? There's nothing in it. Your Jannat and my Jannat is a flat piece of ground. There is nothing in it. You want trees? Plant trees. You want gardens? Plant gardens. You want rivers? Make rivers. You want palaces? Build palaces. Right? You want Ferraris and McLarens? Get them. Whatever you like. Whatever you like. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put any condition to say you can have this and you can't have that. No. Whatever you want in your Jannah, you can have. Choice is yours. Choice is mine. Otherwise, it's a... I'm not talking about disobeying Allah and doing haram and ending in Jahannam. I'm saying even if you are in Jannah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that there are darajat in Jannah. And he said, the darajat in Jannah, the Sahaba said, Rasulullah, how do we understand this darajat in Jannah, levels of Jannah? He said, it is like looking at the stars. It's like looking at the stars. He said, you are sitting here in this Jannah. It's Jannah only, it's not Jahannam, it's Jannah. But the next Jannah is like you see a star. That far away, that high up. Rasulullah said in one hadith, he said, as a man, he will be sitting in his Jannah and he will feel a very beautiful and fragrant breeze that he never felt before. So he will ask the khuddam, he will ask the servants, where is this breeze from? They will say, this breeze is from the Jannah which is one level above yours. Only one level above yours. So the man will say, Wallah, that man, whoever is there, that woman, whoever is there, whoever the Jannah belongs to that person, they must have done so many good deeds and so many wonderful things which I could not do in my life. They will tell him, no, no, no. They did not do anything more except one thing. I said, what is the one thing? He said, they said, Subhanallah, one time more than you. That's it. He said, that person's life and your life is identical. There's no difference. No difference. Except one difference. And that difference is one word of zikr. One single word of zikr. One subhanallah more than you did. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is adil. So one subhanallah is one subhanallah. The value of that one subhanallah has to be given. Because this person said it one time more. Now, what is that value? That value is a Jannah one daraja higher. The reason I'm saying is, yesterday we said that somebody who comes to the masjid for salah, and that's not only salatul fajr, any salah. For every step the person takes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases one daraja in Jannah. For every step. And as I said, inshallah al-musta'an, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make what I'm saying to be true. For those who are driving and coming, every turn of the wheel is equal to one step, effectively. Right? That's why I say come in small cars. They have smaller wheels, they revolve more. If you come in big cars, the bigger wheel revolves less. One daraja more. There is a story which says that Sulaiman alayhi salam was going somewhere on his flying through the air. In whichever way he used to fly, Allah Alam. And he had, he was a Nabi, he was an emperor, so obviously he wasn't traveling alone, so he had his whole entourage with him, and his fauj, and the jinns, and whatnot, right? So big, massive, So there was a farmer who was standing on the ground, and he looked at Subhanallah, and said, Subhanallah. He's looking at him and saying, look at this. This whole cavalcade and whatnot. So subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Sulaiman alayhi salam to hear that. So Sulaiman alayhi salam came down. He landed in front of that man. And he said to him, "What did you say? Just now you said something. What did you say?" The man got afraid, obviously, because he suddenly the king is in front of him and all the army and everything else. So he said, "Wallah, I never said anything bad to you. You know, it's not." Subhanallah, I said, "No, I'm not saying you said it. I just want to hear, what did you say?" He said, "I saw you going with all this glory and pomp and splendor that Allah has given you and all your army and everything else. And I looked at this and I said, Subhanallah." Sulaiman alayhi salam said, "Wallahi, by the one in whose hand is my soul, your Subhanallah, your one Subhanallah is better than everything I have." Your one Subhanallah. He said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused me to hear this. So I came to tell you that your one Subhanallah, the worth of that is more and that is better than everything I have. All this hukumat and wealth and power. Why does anyone have wealth? Money by itself is what? Supposing you have wealth. Supposing somebody gives you, $1 trillion. Right? $1 trillion. Just imagine this. Seriously. People live like this. People actually live like this. $1 trillion. But this $1 trillion, and this is $1 trillion in gold, not in the Federal Reserve's paper, which is worthless. I mean, actual gold. $1 trillion worth of gold. Gold bricks and biscuits. But they give you this $1 trillion, and this they give it to you in the middle of Fort Knox with multiple security, and they say, here is this $1 trillion, and in the middle of this $1 trillion they put this fantastic double, queen sized or king sized bed, very comfortable, and they said you will be given whatever food you like, and then the door is locked. You can sit here with your $1 trillion. You are the absolute owner of this $1 trillion. But you are inside this prison. You are inside this prison and you are surrounded with this gold. Right? So you are not being tortured and you are not being waterboarded or, No, nothing. Nobody is harming you. You will be fed and so on and so forth. You will be comfortable. But that's it. You can't leave this place. Tell me, what good is that money? You are the absolute owner of that. No doubt about it. You are the absolute owner of that. But you can't spend it. You can't use it. What will you do? Eat the gold? Why does anyone want wealth? People want wealth for the freedom it gives them. If I have the money, I can go where I want. I can do what I want. I can buy what I want. I can live whichever way I want. I can move from one country to another country. Citizenship rules don't apply, nothing applies. I want a British passport, I give £2 million, I buy a British passport. I want an American passport, whatever I want, I can do, right? I don't have to wait for queues in planes and whatnot. Private plane, customs officer will come and check my passport on the plane itself, and that also my secretary will give it to him. I walk off the plane. I mean, what does wealth give you? Wealth is supposed to give you power and supposed to give you freedom. That is why people want wealth. Nobody wants wealth like, "I own $1 trillion, I'm sitting in the middle of a prison surrounded by my gold." I mean, nobody wants that. So what did Sulaiman alayhi salam had? He had wealth and power and freedom and authority. So when he's saying, "My one subhan, your one subhanallah is better than what I have," he's not talking about money. He's talking about something which is far more important than money, which is power. Money is nothing compared to power. Power is what people actually want. Money is a means of getting to power. Not the only means, but that's the one way of getting power. Otherwise, without power, what's the good of money? Without power, you have money. It's like most of our or all our Middle Eastern countries. They have bank accounts. They're not economies. You're sitting on that sea of oil, but somebody else has access to it. This is the issue. The issue is the carpenter story. The issue is, what do we want to do with this time that has been given to us? How do we want to use this time? What kind of house do we want to build? And as I remind myself anew, Allah has given us complete freedom. And unlike the man, unlike the carpenter who did not know that he was building his own house, Allah did not even leave that in, as a mystery for us. Allah told us in advance. Now imagine if that carpenter had been told in advance, if the man had told him, look, your terminal benefit is this house, do whatever you want, spend as much as you want. What do you think the man would have done? He would have built that house, you know, maybe he would have built walls of gold or something, God knows. Because you have absolute freedom, spend whatever you like, build the most beautiful house in the world, and this house will belong to you. Supposing the man had told him that in advance, how would that carpenter have worked? He would not have taken a single shortcut, he would have used the best of materials, he would have spent all the time and energy and all his talent to build the best house, because he knows, this is mine. This is mine. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unlike the boss of the carpenter, he didn't keep it in suspense. He told us right now, this is your house. Build it whichever way you like. You want to go and live in a shack? That's up to you. But that shack is yours forever. There's nothing else happening after that. And you want to live in a beautiful palace? That is also yours. That also is yours forever. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to make the right choices and to do that which is pleasing to Him and which is beneficial for us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.